Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God, and we're actually in a series that I'm putting together on Resist Not Evil. And the last show we talked a lot about the institutions of man, and I was actually looking here for a quote, and I'm not finding it, but anyway, the real destroyers of liberty of the people is he who spreads amongst them bounties, donations, and benefits. So we talked about the institutions of men, the false religion of men, the public religion of men. That's the system of social welfare that you call social security or social insurance or national insurance, depending on what country you're in. But these social insurance programs used to be called Corbin. And they involve the treasury, and they involve men collecting money from the people and redistributing that money to the needy. And there are two types of Corbin. That's only two you have to remember. We're talking basic divisionary types of Corbin. They take a lot of little nuances and changes in the way, I mean, if you got signed up with the Corbin of Rome, you just had to register at birth, and then you had to put on the toga when you became of age, and then you were in, and you could get benefits. But in Judea, you had to actually get baptized. And Herod sent men out to baptize people into their system all over the Roman Empire. See, you could belong to any system you wanted because Rome had freedom of religion. So you could go to the Temple of Saturn and have your birth certificates registered, for your children at birth. And then you would also be registered as a contributor. You could do this at the Temple at Ephesus. And they would accumulate what you gave, and then they would redistribute it if you had a need. If you were blind or injured or whatever, they would take care of you. Those are the bounties. The gifts, gratuities, and benefits, the rewards of going to church at the temple at Ephesus or the temple at Saturn, Saturnalia. You pay in and they will take care of you in time of need. And they have, rules on how to do that. You could do the same at the temple in Judea. Since the days of Moses, you could join the congregation. You only had to give kind of a token amount every year, just a little like half a dime, a little shekel, half a dime every year, and you were in. But of course, if you didn't give more than that, there wasn't going to be anything to help you out with. And the people in your congregation are going to say, well, that's a stingy guy. I always give the example of the Amish. If your house burns down, they don't have insurance. They don't have fire insurance. Your house burns down, everybody in the community comes and rebuilds your house. They bring clothes. They bring, everything they can help you rebuild your house. And I can't imagine, I can't prove this, but and I have talked to people who live with the Amish, but that's not evidence. That's hearsay. But if you're really selfish and your house burns down and you're the kind of guy who you may show up when somebody else's house burns down or barn burns down, but you're the last one to show up. You bring crooked wood and bent nails and you're the first one to leave. And you're always jibber jabbering instead of actually working. They may rebuild your house, but it's not going to be as nice a house as the guy who shows up first. Works the hardest, stays the longest, brings the most wood, they're going to take better care of him. It's just human nature. You know, just like the Eskimo story. The best hunter gets the softest moccasins. That's just the way life is. Because he contributes to the community more than anybody else. They care about him more because he cares about them more. And that's the way it should be. That's the reward you get. They reward virtue. In this society, as I talked about in the last show, they don't reward virtue. They reward sloth. I can't work. I get a headache if I have to concentrate for more than an hour. But I can play Wii video games for 4 hours straight and brag about it. This is actual real life. This is real stuff that goes on, that comes across, you know, from people I know personally. You know, it's unbelievable. And they send him a check every month. Well, he has difficulty concentrating, so we have to send him money so that he can take care of himself, and we don't want to humiliate him. So we actually have instant deposit, and so he can have an EBT card, and, you know, we don't want to embarrass poverty. How about embarrass lazy, no good for nothing slob? No, you don't mind kicking in the door of somebody to force them to contribute to this slothful idiot who is the bane of society and is creating new children because he has a girlfriend and she's pregnant and she gets a check too. So that's your church because that's your religion and that's what you do in your church. You support the wicked. Are you surprised that you don't see more wickedness going on in the world today with that type of thing? You belong to the Church of Satan, the adversary of Christ. You reward vice. Yeah, you got kids by 5 different guys because you sleep around a lot and your boyfriend's staying with you now. But we'll pay your rent. We'll send you a check. We'll give you an EBT card. Because we don't want, you know, sin to be an embarrassment to you. Or a difficulty or a discomfort. We want to make sure you're not uncomfortable in your sin nature. You know, I always tell the story. Real estate broker going around to HUD houses one after another. Everybody, until after 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody was still in their pajamas. Boyfriends were living over with $30,000 worth of recreational vehicles and a boat in the driveway, living at this slut's house. And you're picking up the tab because your priest works at Social Security and the welfare office. That's your priest. That's your clergy. That's your religion. That's how you take care of the needy of your society. Not just spotted by the world, but run by the world. The constitutional orders and systems of government. That's the institutions you've created. But you want to shake your fist at them and say, they need to organize better and they need to stop this corruption and welfare. You need to stop the corruption. You need to stop coveting your neighbor's goods through men who exercise authority. You need to become a Christian. You need to get the baptism of John the Baptist instead of the baptism of FDR. And, you know, I don't want to deal with Chamberlain or any of these other guys who brought in the same type of systems. You are the problem. You won't repent. You won't seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is to live by faith, hope, and charity and not forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Get your kids out of public education. I just posted a thing on our Preparing You site. I think it's, go to the preparingyou.com and type in the search engine teachers. And there's a bunch of videos there. Show you that kids learn better if they don't have a teacher. That's right. They learn teachers aren't there to educate your children. Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but hey, I'm getting flack already because I'm speaking the truth. Teachers are actually there to keep your children from learning. 1984 came and went, you didn't even notice. They want to brainwash your children into thinking. I mean, just heard a news item before the last show began where they're talking about them teaching the children that homosexuality is natural. If evolution existed, homosexuality wouldn't exist anymore in the world today. Because they would have been bred out of the gene pool. Homosexuality, and I'm not talking about being gay because they're not all that gay. I'm talking about homosexuality, perversion of the natural use, is a product of socialism. That's why Russia has to fight against it so much, you know, where they beat up homosexuals still and give them a hard time and they keep it. It's still there. It's just in the closet more. Socialism always creates that kind of reality. Creates alcoholism. They're ripe with alcoholism. It breaks down the family. It destroys the family. It weakens the people. It is what Sodom and Gomorrah was doing. It's socialism. And, I mean, democracy leads to socialism. Democracy is a bad form of government. Everywhere, you read our book, Higher Liberty. We're talking about the different books, Covenants of the Gods, Thy Kingdom Come, Higher Liberty, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. If I got a little bit more support, and actually, our support, we need workers. We need doers. We don't need people who want to sit on the radio and listen to us. I understand that sometimes you have to do that for a while you're chewing on the meat we serve here at His Holy Church. But you really want to learn, you got to become a doer. We actually started a group, kind of an order group, what we call it, an email group, and we've got a Moodle for educating people and stuff like that. And hundreds of hours have gone into setting this up. It's all free. And there are some people learning. But you really want to learn? You want to learn about one another? Create congregations of record. Pick ministers. Those ministers have to work at it. They have to study. They have to learn. They have to figure out how you create institutions of God. How you turn this ship around and start heading back. They have to be thorough at it. They can't just imagine, oh, yeah, I kind of got it. I'm amazed at the amount of time that lapses where everything is spelled out in detailed documentation. And years go by and people say, well, why are we doing this? Well, it says right here. Shows you. If you don't do this, you're centralizing power. If you do this, you're dispersing. Your separation of powers. See, the separation of powers in God's government is not divided between the legislature, the judiciary, and the executive offices. It's divided amongst the people. Each of you are kings and queens in your own household. So therefore, each of you is holding the executive office for you. Each of you are members of the judiciary through voir dire, creation of common law juries. Each of you are a member of the judiciary. Each and every one of you. Each and every one of you are the legislatures. You know, according to the U.S. Constitution, only Congress can declare war. That isn't what's going on now. I mean, the president's declaring war all the time. Because they don't even do their job. They're just as lazy as you guys are. You see, laziness begets laziness. So you expect your government to be lazy, expect your government to overspend. You do. They're just a reflection of your spirit. They're your light. You've created that institution of government. Because you don't have the separation of power that they have in the kingdom. You've consolidated your power into a central government, and you knew enough, well, if we're going to do this, we need to divide the power so that they don't all have it. But the reality is they do all have it, and you have none. The power started with you. The right to choose began with you. You were endowed by your creator with certain elements of liberty. But you signed them away. Why? For bounties, donations, and benefits. That's what Plutarch said. Plutarch isn't the only one. You could read Polybius. He was telling about the same thing. History repeats itself. It keeps going the same way over and over and over again. That's what you do. You're either the slothful or you're the diligent. Either you're the doers or you're going to be the ones they do it to. And they're doing it to you now. And you deserve it because you've been slothful. When I was looking up who was in favor of democracy, because I was coming across these quotes, you know, that where democracy is considered this wicked form of government, from everybody to Adams to Washington to Jefferson, they were all in opposition to democracy, a democracy, either direct or indirect. But I did finally find, you know, I mean, I went all the way up to Winston Churchill. He says the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. Everybody was against democracy, but then I found out who loves democracy. Karl Marx. Why? Because democracy leads to socialism, and socialism to communism. And he believed in central authority, controlling everything, top-down power. And how did the power get at the top? You gave it to him. Why? For benefits. That's the way it works. Now, you want to go the other way? Shake your fist, resist evil, fight against them. We got to put the right guy in power. You know, it's kind of like Iran. Let's get rid of the Shah. The Shah's a bad guy. He's torturing people. Let's get rid of him. Let's have our riots and we have a revolution. We get rid of him so we put Khomeini in? Torturing went up. It increased. It just, the stick was now in the other hand. Actually, in many cases, it was the same guy. He just switched sides too. Got his old job back. I always remember an interview with a CIA guy, and they were accusing him. And has the CIA been instructing the Iranian government on, or was it the Iranian? Yeah, I guess it was the Iranian government. This was when the Shah was still in power. On methods of torture? And the guy looked up at the question, and you could see this kind of stunned look on his face of the CIA agent, you know, former agent, you know, operative, but now in the higher echelons. And he looked at them, and he just absolutely was stunned by the question. And he very slowly answered it, kind of shook his head. He says, "We can't teach these people anything about torture." They know all about torture. They've been torturing people since Alexander the Great. It's part of their culture. They've just do it. You know, I'm not saying they all do it, but it's very prevalent in that society. If anything, the CIA was probably trying to tone down the torture. They didn't want to hear about it. It was too gruesome. No, torture didn't stop with Khomeini. It just changed, the stick changed hands. Now you were tortured because you were for the Shah. You were tortured because you were not for Khomeini and people like that. And the fact is, what you've done now is you've made your nation, America, England, Australia, Canada, keep going through these kind of nations, but I mean, we could deal with China and you know, Vietnam. I was raised up in the Vietnam era. I was supposed to go kill gooks. I've actually had gooks in my living room giving me a hug. I'm kind of glad I didn't kill them. I was willing to go because I thought I was supposed to, but God showed me another way. I was raised to kill gooks for the government. But then I realized, no, I'm wrong government. There's another government. There's a government of the people, for the people, by the people that operate according to the perfect law of liberty, by faith, hope, and charity, loving one another. They are doers of the word, not hearers only. They don't go to church to feel good. They go to church to be good, to do good, to serve one another in righteousness, strengthening the poor. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, you better gather together with somebody and doing it. If you want to gather together with us, join the Living Network at thelivingnetwork.org. Just come to His Holy Church and join the network links. And gather in a congregation of record. You don't have to do anything but meet a few people and start thinking, can I? Now, eventually you're going to have to do anything, but we're not going to make you. That God who's supposed to be writing on your heart and upon your mind, He's going to make you do it. You're going to have to do what He said because you will be compelled to do it by your faith in Him. You're not compelled to do it, then you probably don't have any real faith in Him. You have faith in the image of Him you have constructed in your own mind. So anyway, you need to do that because doers of the word get rooted deep. Doers of the word get new blessings. The greatest promoter of liberty is he who spreads amongst the people responsibilities, obligations, and duties, but doesn't enforce them by, you know, the sword. They're enforced because in your heart you believe in the ways of Christ. That's what you must do. You must believe in the way of Christ and do according to the ways of Christ. That is the way it works in the kingdom of God. If the greatest destroyers of liberty are those who spread amongst them freebies, benefits, free education, free healthcare, free all this stuff, then the greatest promoters of liberty are those who spread amongst the people responsibilities. So that's what you want to do in your creations, in your institutions. Your institutions will be empowering individuals. We can show you how to set up a church established by Christ. Now, the elders are a key part of this. They used to be called presbyters in the Greek. That's what it means, elders, heads of family, those kings and queens. Each king and queen in the family should, as a member of the body of Christ, they're not a member of the church, they're a member of the body of Christ. This is a spiritual membership. They're just in a free assembly. They have no obligation except what Christ puts on their heart. We're going to talk about prayer in the next half. And, you know, I hope a lot of people on the network are listening because I'm going to talk about some phraseology that we've been using that I think we need to look at. But, you know, I understand why people are using it and I respect that, but we have to be careful how we use these things. But when God is writing upon your heart and your mind, He's giving you jobs to do. It's doers of the word. So we're going to be giving each elder things to do. They choose to do them. They say, well, yeah, I'll do that. And then we find out if they're doers of their word because they said they would do it. We'll see if they do it. If they don't, well, we may not trust them next time. If they do, then we will trust them even more next time because they are bearing fruit. They say, we'll do it. We know. This is what you want. You want to gather with people who say, if he says he's going to, this is going to happen, this is going to get done, it's going to get done. It's going to happen. He's going to make it happen. He is reliable. He is as solid as a rock. As a matter of fact, that's the guy I want for my minister. Because I know he is a man I can trust. Look at amongst you. Pick men you trust. How do you know you can trust them? Because they say so? No, because they are doers of what they say so. So if you want liberty, you have to accept responsibility. Don't be the foolish virgin who just wants to go around and dance all day and play around, and they don't want to accept any. I mean, they don't raise their family. They don't raise their kids. They don't support their wife or wives. They just run around and say, I'm in the kingdom. Where's the fruits? Where's the fruit of that spirit? I don't see it. You want to know a Christian? Shake his hand. What kind of hand does that guy have? And you shake my hand, you'll feel a real hand there. Now, I know some men have work that they're not going to be out there laboring in the field as much. I mean, I do a lot of typing. I wore away the keys on my keyboard more than once, so you can't read any of them. But I've wore away a few shovel handles, too. Yesterday, I was using a pry bar shovel and a Pulaski. And I dug a big, huge hole. Big enough, it looks like a giant grave. Squared up, deep down. It's probably, if you're standing at the bottom, you cannot see out the top. And I'm going to pour cement in it. And it's not a coffin. But I'll baptize you in it if you come out to the Burning Bush Festival. Hopefully I'll have it done by then. But I'm not baptizing people unless they repent. And repent of what? Coveting their neighbor's goods. Failing to do what Christ said. So we're going to talk about prayer when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. Find out if you know how to pray. You know how to pray? I doubt it. But you can learn. I know it. Be right back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me. And many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. the books, the covenants of the gods, and thy kingdom come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So these institutions of God, these creations of God's people, we see in Acts 6 that Peter is dealing with a problem that's brought to his attention. The daily ministration to the widows and orphans and needy of their society is being neglected, according to the Greeks. And they said, we need to do something. Because some of the people are not receiving their welfare check. Of course, it's not a welfare system like that. They're not getting their tesserae. That, you know, the little token that allows them to get their food from the free bread and circuses of Rome. Except for they can't go get those things anymore because they were cast out of those systems in Judea. And they needed to create institutions that make sure that the widows and orphans and needy of their society are taken care of. But their society is based on virtue. So they said, what are we going to do? And Peter says, it's not right that we leave the preaching of the word to wait on tables. Now, what's he talking about, tables? Did you know the same word for tables there is the same word for bank? It's even translated bank elsewhere in the New Testament. Yeah, what does the church have to do with a bank? Well, it has to do with funds. People were giving it money, laying it at the foot of the apostles. Did they go down there and put it in the temple at Ephesus? The temple at Ephesus was a bank. It was actually the world bank of society. There was over 127 different countries that built the temple at Ephesus. Why? Because it's a member bank. They had the most secure vault in all the Mediterranean. Why? Because it was a bank. They minted coin. Why? Because it was a bank. They had animal ash found there in the ruins when they were excavating. Why? Because it minted coins. And they had a process. We talk about it in the Kingdom of God. There was a process. No, actually in the book, Thy Kingdom Comes. A process where they used animal ash in order to change the amount of silver in a coin. Silver and gold in a coin. And there was a process that silversmiths knew about in order to do that. And of course that, when people said, well, we know they had animal sacrifice because we found ash from bones in the ruins. No, that's evidence of a crime. That's not evidence of animal sacrifice. It's evidence of a crime. They used the bone ash to change the amount of gold and silver in natural ore so that they could create more coins and say they were of value. They'd stamp those coins and say, this is worth this much. But in actuality, it did not have the just weights and measures. Because they had learned this process of altering that using animal bone ash. But anyway, another whole story. Point was, is they didn't put the money in the temple at Ephesus because that was the world bank of the day. So where they put the money? I mean, they had to take relief hundreds, sometimes even thousands of miles around when there was collapse of economies and helped out the local Christians. How'd they do that? Well, they looked out amongst themselves and they picked men they trusted. and they put them over that business. And they did it through empowering individuals in this network of responsibility so that rights could be provided as they were meant to be provided in the kingdom by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. You know, I'll give you a real quick example. There was a school that was going, private school that was going bankrupt, and it just couldn't afford all the personnel and the costs, and they were trying to figure out how can they stay open because we can't keep raising tuitions and things are costing so much. But they were trying to run the school like the Roman schools, except this is in modern time, but still Roman schools, like the public schools. And they said, no, don't. Somebody said, got the bright idea. I said, no, we're going to have student participation. Instead of having people who run around cleaning up after the kids all the time and every classroom is left in a mess and a pigsty at the end of the day, and they have to clean out all the trash and dirt and things like that, that the kids bring in, they were going to take 15 minutes and the kids clean up the school. And the kids were giving back response. This year's school, we're going to close it, or we're going to keep it open. We're going to have to cut back here, there, and everywhere. Uniforms were not going to be paid for by the school. You had to pay for them yourself. Of course, some people didn't have the money, but they had to share. The guy's a good player, and he can't afford the jersey. We're going to buy him. We're going to create fundraisers. The kids got more and more responsible, taking a part in it. The trash ended. The graffiti ended in the school. They didn't have to paint over graffiti anymore. Nobody would do it because the kids were responsible for cleaning up. It was their school. They had to take care of it. And once it was their job, they started being matured by that experience. Like I was saying before, the page that I put up, I'm preparing you on teachers. It has several videos there. Why you don't need teachers. Why teachers are a bad thing. Well, of course you do need teachers, but not in the way you do it. So what the Christians were doing were picking men to trust to do these same jobs that you see being done in the world, but it's done by volunteers. Well, there's a lot of work to be done, so there's lots of volunteers. You see, the way they do it is they centralize power. They give a few people power over many. The e pluribus unum. I actually paraphrase that now, and it's not e pluribus unum. It's e unum pluribus. Actually, there's another word you need to put there, unum. But the point is out of one, many. How are you going to be all kings and priests if you don't go in that direction? If you don't start taking back your responsibilities? So every institution is about taking back responsibilities. So when you form a His Church congregation of record, you may be a member on that record roll, but you're not incorporated. The only thing you incorporate into the congregation is what you choose to give. And you only give to ministers you see doing a good job. Now the power is in your hands. The governments you've created, the power is not in your hand. What is it that George Carlin says? No, actually it wasn't George Carlin. It's actually, I think I actually have a webpage up on them. They're not a very good person, but they said something very clever once. Emma Goldman, that's it is. She said that if voting made a difference, they wouldn't give you the, I'm paraphrasing here, they wouldn't allow you to do it. and that's true. The elite, the power structure, they don't want to give you the power to change them. They want power, and so they're going to manipulate it so that they get power. Because there are men who wake up in the morning and they want more power. There's some men who wake up in the morning and they want to do good for other people. The problem is you're gathered in the wrong flock. You need to gather with other people who want to do righteousness and the righteousness of God. So, anyway, by going off on the Emma Goldman thing. I lost my train of thought, but let's get back to these institutions of God that are empowering the individual to take back your responsibility to be the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. You don't have to leave the system to do this. The Israelites didn't. They were still in Egypt, and they began to learn this process. And there were famines and difficulties while they learned, but that helped speed up their learning process. You'll get the same opportunity. So how do you pray in that system of righteousness? This is what they were asking. This is what they were asking. How do we pray in your system? How do we apply for benefits in your system? Because he's talking about doing alms, taking care of the needy of society in verse 2. And he's talking about benefits in verse 1, reward of your Father which is in heaven. Otherwise you have no reward. Heed how you do your alms, how you take care of one another. How are you doing it? You're not you say, well, that's a charity. I gave at church and I gave to the United Way. And well, you gave more to your big church, your corporate church, your public church, you know, the government. That's your church. That's how you take care of the needy of your society. That's how you tend to the daily ministration of your society through the government. They had government welfare back then, but the Christians didn't have that. They had to do it themselves. So they said, how are we going to take care of the daily ministrations being neglected? You look out amongst yourself and pick men you trust. Now, they were already forming congregations of record, so this was actually something else different, and we talk about it in other places, but in the Old Testament, there was a time where you pick 7, and that's what they were doing, picking 7. And you could even pick 8, it says. And it's for that tending to the daily ministration, the welfare, the needy, the emergency, the FEMA of Christ. You know, there's a FEMA of Christ. You know, there's a federal emergency management agency. That's the FEMA of the world that operates by men who exercise authority one over the other. But there's a FEMA, at least in spirit, in the kingdom of God. And that's the faith emergency ministry auxiliary. Now, a church auxiliary is not a church. It's an auxiliary of the church. It doesn't have the same immunities that the church has. Close, but not exactly the same. It's in the world. It's going to be run by the elders who are trapped in the world and stuck in the mire. But they're going to have to learn how to get themselves out by learning how to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. Same as they did in Egypt. Once you start learning that, they'll want to kick you out because they don't want your contagious disease of righteousness spreading to the other people. But you haven't got there. So how do you pray in your system? How do you create your system? Well, there's a phrase that is used, you pray to the minister. And that phrase is used in our network from time to time by some of the ministers. And the reason why they use that is what they're saying is you apply to the ministry if you have a need. Now, how does that minister fulfill that need? Well, hopefully, he asks God, do I help this person out? So it isn't really that you pray to the minister. You're still praying to God, but you pray with the minister, and he prays with the congregation, and the congregation decides whether or not they will help this person out. Because it's charity. If they don't have the right to decide whether they're going to give to this cause or this need or that need, they're not free. They don't have the liberty, the exousia of choice. Somebody else has the right to choose for them. They're not at liberty. Somebody else is at liberty. And that's why you need to read the book Higher Liberty, so you understand that that word that they use in Paul, let every man remain subject to the higher liberty, higher what? What does it say? Every man be subject to the higher power. The word is the power to choose. The original power to choose was given to you by God, but you gave the power to choose to somebody else. People say, well, wait a minute, you got to look at how it's used most of the time in the Bible. Most of the time in the Bible it's used in reference to Jesus' power. All power was given to me. And what did Jesus do? He gave that power back to you. You choose. Look out amongst yourselves. You choose. Pick men you trust. You choose to give to them. You don't have to give to them. You give to them as the Spirit compels you to give to them. So Jesus goes on and explains how you say this, Our Father who art in heaven. You know, in verse 5 he talks about, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue, in the corners and the streets. Now he's talking about actual, you know, getting out there and doing the, you know, public prayer. Oh God, I'm praying to you that they may be seen of men. Verily, verily, I say to you, they've already received their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. The word closet there, we've talked about this before, is actually means where your treasure is. You know, it's actually a storehouse. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Now, again, you can look at all those different words. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. That's true. You see, because when you sit and pray with your minister, he hears your prayers. He hears your need. Of course, you're already in this congregation. He should begin to see this. This is his job. His car's broke down. He's trying to get to work. He's getting up 3 hours early so he can get to work because his car's broke down. He's taking another job. He's working himself to death. I'm going to help him out. But I only have a limited resource. I'm going to go to the other members of the congregation. We're going to sit down and pray together. Not endless reputation, but they pray together and they say, well, and what are they praying? They're asking the Father in their hearts, the Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name, what should we do here? And then they are become doers of the word. He says, thy kingdom come when thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're not just going to help this guy out because we feel sorry. We want to know what your will is in this situation. This isn't praying in like manner. This is the way you approach prayer in your congregation. You go into that still small, quiet place in your heart and you say, what should I do? The pastor does this. The minister does this. Then he takes the prayer to the people. They do it. And they decide, should we give or should we not give? You know, the guy's been lazy. The guy's not been doing, yeah, should we forgive him? Well, actually, I've seen him change and I've seen him turn around. And, well, you know, God's putting it on my heart to support this man's need. And you give according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Most people don't know how to do that. They're all caught up. They think the Holy Spirit is emotion. It's not emotion. It's righteousness. It's sacrifice. It's patience. It's love. It's giving of yourself, laying down your life daily. And he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Yeah, this guy screwed up. This guy didn't do right. But I see him really making a change. So God is putting it on my heart to give to his need. And I will give to my minister and he will make sure that the money gets to him. But he says also, lead us not into temptation. What kind of temptation? The temptation to exercise authority, to project rules and regulations upon other people, to make them, well, we're going to give to him, but he's got to do it this way. Or I'm going to help him, but he's got to let me help only in this way. And so we start, it's just creeping in, this little dictatorial attitude. You want to watch that. Be careful. This little control. It's not very much at first. Eventually it looks like Babylon. But at first it's just little innocent ways of, you know, trying to manipulate other people's choices. And then you say, for thine is the kingdom. For his, he's the king. He rules where? In the hearts and minds of the people. They are the treasurers of the kingdom, the treasurers of the kingdom. The vast funds that are at the disposal of the kingdom of God is not held in central vaults. It's not held in golden statues that are called the reserve fund. It's held in the pockets of those kings and priests who gather together in free assemblies, who are looking after the daily ministration through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty and responsibility. So all your institutions are empowering individuals who are either going to be doers of their word or not. Everybody is working together to take the burden off of each. I had a situation where I could see that there was a lot of complexities in setting up an institution. So I said, let's first year or two, let's seek help. Get other people to set this up. Get multiple trustees working on creating an institution that can help facilitate the daily ministration and needs of educating the people. People said, no, I can do it all myself. Before a few weeks are out, suddenly it's too much, I don't want to do it anymore. Well, I knew it was going to be too much. That's why I said, let's get help to get us over the hump. It gets easier later on because we know the ins and outs, but we didn't know the ins and outs then, so it requires a great deal of study, takes a lot of time, asking questions, asking the right questions, going back and changing the questions so that we get the right question to get the right answers. And it's going to take other people who have more experience. It's going to cost a little bit more in funds, but a lot less in time. But sometimes we're too proud to admit we don't. It may be too much. And so we go out and we try to do too much. And then it does get too much. And we say, it's too much, I can't do it. Not going to work that way. Have the humility to say, yeah, I need help. That's one of the hard things for independent people to do, is to say, I cannot do this alone. I need help. And the other hard thing is to come and help. Because people say, oh, I'm busy. I read all the stuff at AJC, but I've been too busy. I had to go here. I got to go there. And work is taking so much of my time. Well, it's going to take some overtime. And it's going to take finding the people who are willing to work together and do the job. And then your life becomes a prayer. Not so that foolish people will be rewarded. Not so that slothful people will have it comfortable. But so that the righteous may attend to the daily ministration according to the perfect law of liberty. We forgive one another our sloths. We forgive one another our backsliding. We forgive one another our temptation to whatever. Because we know that it gets too much for us sometimes. And we're going to need forgiveness. Sometimes I get lazy. May not look like lazy to a lot of other people. Actually, yesterday, I discovered a couple little things. I was out working in the fields, and we have a little insect out here that comes in the spring called no-see-ums. And you don't see them, but they're little like gnats, and they bite you. I discovered that a certain iris that grows in the field, if you grab them up and rub them on the back of your neck and head, they won't bite you anymore. I did it on one ear, never got any more bites, the other one didn't. Well, I also discovered another thing, but we're going to have to save that for next time on Keys to the Kingdom. Until then, join us on the network. And until then, may peace be upon your house. And I'll forgive you, but I don't know if God will forgive you if you don't join us on the network. So be there. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.